the multiple forms of human rebellion have, for the most part, continuing with chapter 2, Dilemmas of Anti-Systemic Movements, have for the most part been only partially efficacious at best. Sometimes they force the oppressors to reduce the pressure of the exploitation, but sometimes they failed utterly to do so. However, one continuing sociological characteristic of these rebellions of the oppressed has been their spontaneous, short-term character. They have come and they have gone, having such effect as they did. When the next such rebellion came, it normally had little explicit relationship with the previous one. Indeed, this has been one of the great strengths of the world's ruling strata throughout history, the non-continuity of rebellion. And we have the internet now, right? So again, the fact that it has been throughout the history of the class system does not mean it is our fate to do this dance with power ad infinitum, not by any means. Continuing. In the early history of the capitalist world economy, the situation remained more or less the same as it had always been in this regard. Rebellions were many, scattered, discreet, momentary, and only partially efficacious at best. One of the characteristics, however, of capitalism as a system is that the very integrating tendencies that have been one of its defining characteristics have had an impact on the form of anti-systemic activity. Somewhere in the middle of the 19th century, 1848 is as good a symbolic date as any, there came to be a sociological innovation of profound significance for the politics of the capitalist world economy. Groups of persons involved in anti-systemic activity, I'm sorry to interject so often, but they are presenting this innovation of the organization as a boon, when it strikes me it's very much akin, or just an early form of, the organization of labor unions as a way for power to manage us better. So rebellions were many, scattered, discreet, momentary, only partially efficacious at best. Okay, a profound innovation. Groups of persons involved in anti-systemic activity began to create a new institution, the continuing organization, with members, officers, and specific political objectives, both long run and short term. Such organized anti-systemic movements had never existed before. One might argue that various religious sects had performed analogous roles within an analogous organization, but the long run objectives of the religious sects were by definition otherworldly. The anti-systemic organizations that came into existence in the 19th century were preeminently political, not religious. That is, they focused on the structures of this world. My interjection. Recall our vampire metaphors, the Mr. Smith virus, and so on, that attempt to grapple with the phenomenon of power ever adapting, we won't say co-opting because our triptet don't like it, to our resistance. So while we could say that the paired issues of the internalized state and the question of our organization are the matters for our understanding to master in acquiring our long overdue freedom, while we could say this, the latter is really but an expression of the former. We gotta deal with our internalized master.